Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Spartan Life Radio, brought to you by Norfolk State University, home of the mighty Spartans. Spartan Life Radio was created with you in mind. It's your source for news and information about NSU matters, including students, faculty, staff, administrators, alumni, and the communities we serve.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Spartan Life Radio, the Blog Talk Radio show that's all about the Spartan Nation. During our last episode, we teased all the wonderful Black History Month programming at Norfolk State that ushered in the month-long observance with a bang. On today's program, we're going to dig a little deeper, and we're going to be speaking with a few of the NSU faculty who have actually created some very interesting Black History Month segments. I'm Sharon Hoggart, your host from the Office of Communications and Marketing. Thanks for joining us. You can join our conversation by calling 1-347-850-8515. That number again, 1-347-850-8515. Just follow the prompts if you'd like to speak to one of our guests. Before we introduce you to our guests, we're going to take a commercial break. Hang with us. We'll be right back.
This is the news. This morning, we are saluting the 2.2 million women who have joined in the war effort. They now make up 37% of the workforce, changing their role forever.
The prestigious Harvard Medical School is breaking ground today, opening its doors to new female applicants.
Today, little girls all over the world look to the sky, where the first woman is now in space.
Military stereotypes are challenged today with the trailblazing promotion of a U.S. female officer to four-star general. It was just announced that the vast majority of last year's doctorate degrees were earned by women.
We've come so far, but our news is changing for the worse. More women die from heart disease and stroke than men, even though it can be prevented. Make a change at GoRedForWomen.org today. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the American Heart Association's Go Red for Women.
We're back with you. If you're just joining us, welcome to Spartan Life Radio, the Blog Talk Radio show coming to you from Norfolk State University in Hampton Roads, Virginia. At the top of the show, we talked about NSU's Black History Month program and about our guests today who have created unique, engaging, and entertaining programs to celebrate the contributions of African Americans. Joining us today on Spartan Life Radio are Dr. April Manilang from the Department of History and Interdisciplinary Studies, Professor Carol Pretlow from the Political Science Department, and Professor Anthony Stockard, Director of the NSU Theater Company. Welcome, all of you, to Spartan Life Radio. Thanks so much for taking time out of your busy schedules to join us.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, I'm delighted
All right.
to see you.
Thank you. All right, listeners, if you'd like to join the conversation, call us at area code 347-850-8515. You can listen live at blogtalkradio.com/Spartan Life, and you can also listen via cell phone or other mobile device. Before we ask our guests about their roles, performances, and other background about Norfolk State's observance of Black History Month, I'm going to give each of our guests an opportunity to give you a little bit of background on the history of the Black History Month celebration and their roles. So let's start with Professor Carol Pretlow. Carol, you've been teaching at NSU since the 1800s. Tell us a bit about your background and your special project you're working on.
Well, I'm old, but not quite that old. Well, I feel like there's something. Well, I grew up in Iowa White County, and I have an interest in political science that dates back to when I was 8 years old. And a county icon of the NACP took me under her wing. And there's more to that, but I'm a graduate of Fisk University and Norfolk State Communications. I'm very proud of that. And American University Washington College of Law. And through this progression, my focus has been on law and politics, but I have particularly been interested in African Americans and our role. And ironically, very interested in Nat Turner, even though at the time he was labeled a terrorist. I think of him as a motivator for change.
Okay.
That's
thanks, Carol. Stay on the call, though, so we can talk about your particular Black History Month program. Dr. Okay. Madeline, tell us a little bit about yourself, what you teach, and any special projects you're working on.
My name is April, and if I'm in trouble, it's April Fay. Thankfully, I haven't heard that much on campus. And I'm a fairly new hire, so it's been an exciting time. I'm an assistant professor in the history and interdisciplinary studies department, and I'm cross-trained in humanities and social sciences, and my area of interest is in politics, religion, and citizenship, and how these interact with each other to help us understand better about communities of color and their relationship to the nation state. And so, yeah.
Okay. We are very excited to have you on the call, especially with this program.
Thanks.
I think our listeners are going to really find that interesting. Now, Professor Stalker,
Thanks. You
have put NSU's theater program on the map with the first sold-out performance of Dreamgirls last year and so much more. So tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, thank you. This is my second year at Norfolk State University. I studied in New York and Boston and other parts of the region professionally, and getting my degrees from Brandeis University and my undergraduate from Alabama State University, both in theater arts. And since my arrival here at the university, I have been trying to, put us out there, get the program out there. And we're already into the end of season 2 of NSU Theater Company's existence, and we're gearing up for season 3.
I mean, y'all are just doing some fantastic stuff. All of you are. All right, let's let our listeners know who you are. Let's talk about your specific programs in observance of Black History Month. Dr. Madeline, we'll start with you. Your research has turned up a little-known Black history fact about the connection between Virginia's Buffalo Soldiers and the Philippines. Tell us about your research, its funding, and the program coming up on February 25th.
Absolutely. I'd be happy to. This idea started out with this thinking that there's a lot of parts of history that we're not aware of, especially when we think about African-American history and Asian-Americans. And this event is funded by the Virginia Foundation for the Humanities, and it's also being co-sponsored by the Filipino-American National Historical Society of Hampton Roads. And what we are trying to show is that it turns out that there were African-American Buffalo Soldiers who actually served in the Philippines. And while we know a lot about the fact that Buffalo Soldiers served in other parts of the world and in the United States, very little has been discussed on the scholarly level and on the public level about this shared history that I feel is very meaningful. And so this photo gallery and public panel is meant to really highlight and illuminate this hidden Virginia history.
Okay. So tell our listeners the logistics. Where is it going to take place? What date is going to take place? Time and all that kind of stuff.
I'd love to. We will host the Hidden Virginia History, the Connection Between Buffalo Soldiers and the Philippines Photo Gallery and Public Panel on Thursday, February 25th at 6 p.m. at Norfolk State University in the Harrison B. Wilson Archives, Lyman Beecher Brooks Library on the second floor, and it's free and open to the public, and the more, the merrier.
And if you guys have not seen Norfolk State's new library, you are in for a real treat. So come on and take part in this program that's taking place on February 25th. Dr. Madeline, one more question. How did you come up with this topic for a research project? And why do you think you were able to get funding from the Virginia Foundation for the Humanities?
Well, thanks for that really interesting question. And for me, it all started out really casually. Like, there were two instances. So I'll start off with with one of them. So during the summer, I was having lunch, and I happened to be having lunch with some members of the Filipino-American National Historical Society, and we're just getting together. And someone mentioned to me, oh, April, did you know that the Buffalo Soldiers served in the Philippines? And I checked to make sure I was sober, and I was. I'm completely and fully sober. You know, and then I thought, well, you know, let's poke around. Let's check. So I checked around. I checked online. I did some research. And oh, my gosh, it's true. Oh, my goodness, it's true. And so I ran this idea by Mr. David Barringer, who I just want to speak the world of. He's the director of grants and community programs at the Virginia Foundation for the Humanities. And I just mentioned it to him. And he just thought it was an amazing piece of history that no one has really shed light on in great detail. And so I thought this might be a really amazing way to connect the Filipino-American community in particular and the African-American community of a shared history. And so that's how it really got going.
That's going to be, I think that's going to be so cool.
Thanks, I think so too.
Professor Fetlow, you're working with a student-focused group. Tell us about the discussion and give us the logistics of the event.
Well, before I do, I want to tell you, with politics, you say expect the unexpected. Initially, way back in January, my plan was to have a film presentation and a discussion on the achievements and the contributions of an icon, Ralph Bunche, who was the first African-American to represent the United States in the United Nations. And I was very proud because I learned of Ralph Bunche when I was like fifth grade, and I was mesmerized by him. And I wanted my students to have the experience of seeing a film on him and then a discussion on how far we have come since then. But now here's where the change came. About 2 weeks ago, I got an email from a gentleman I haven't met at the Joint Forces Staff College. And I used to teach a class in international politics over there. And the request was for me to come and talk about Black History Month and contributions. From my perspective, boring, 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 because I don't do that real well. I do interactive exercises. So I kind of said, well, look, the millennials have one view of things. And I'm a baby boomer, so I have another. Can we talk about that? He said, sure, fine. Then the beginning of this week, I said, oh, wait a minute. Why don't I have some of my students who are very engaging and very, sometimes they put me on the spot. Why don't I bring them and let's talk about issues facing the African-American community and from their perspective and my perspective. That is, millennials and baby boomers give our opinions. And then we'll go from there. It'll be a very interactive discussion. We can do Ralph Bunche another time, but right now we're going to focus on the millennial perspective of the political arena, particularly since we have this as front row center with Black Lives Matter. We have millennials going to Bernie Sanders. So I thought this is going to be great, and I'm excited about it.
Okay. Did students from political science classes across the board in the College of Liberal Arts, or are these just your political science students?
Well, actually, they are my political science students in international politics primarily, because it is in this class that we look at policy formation and how American policy formation has an impact on communities internationally. So we're going to do the perspectives, but we're going to be able to examine what does this mean to you. For me, it might mean one thing. As a baby boomer, for you, another. And it's going to be sort of a roundtable discussion.
Okay. All right. Can you tell us, we need to get the logistics now, where when is it going to take place, time, location, and all that kind of stuff?
Okay. It's going to take place, well, the preliminaries for it will be taking place in the classroom on February 24th. but the actual presentation will be at the Joint Force Staff College on the 26th. Now, there's a kicker here. It's because you don't just walk on to the Joint Force Register through them, and I guess so they can do a background check and all of that. And then from there, you go on. So people at Norfolk State who may be interested, you can email me, and then I'll give you the contact person there, and then, you know, you make the arrangements through them for the event.
Okay, and you can, listeners, if you want to attend this event, you can email Professor Pretlow at cpretlow, P-R-E-T-L-O-W, at nsu.edu. And while we are talking about Professor Pretlow, I wanted to say that she has a blog, a political blog that she writes. It's at medium.com/@CPretlow. You should take a look at it. It's quite interesting. All right. Hang with us, Carol.
Okay.
One of the Black History Month signature events is the encore performance of the award-winning stage play, The Brothers' Sighs. Professor Starkert, what is the production about, and what awards has this production garnered to date?
The Brothers' Sighs is a fairly new play, and it is a story that lives in two different worlds. We live in reality in the bayou in Mississippi, and then we live inside of the dreams of some of the characters. All of the characters get their names from West African Yoruba culture. They call their gods Orishas, much like you have Zeus in Greek pantheon. You have the lightning bolt, and he has powers. The same is true in Yoruba culture. They have colors assigned to them, powers assigned to them, and they have their cultural stories called patakis that sort of give the background on each character. And one of the characters, Ogun, he is the older brother, and his Orisha, where he gets his name from, is the god of metalwork, technology, and justice. So in the play, he's been transformed into a mechanic, so he can still be inside of his environment. And the justice part comes in trying to protect his younger brother, Ochusi. And Ochusi is the god of freedom and justice, and he's coming out of the penitentiary. His older brother's trying to keep him on a straight and narrow path, but a friend named Alegba, who is known as the trickster Orisha, comes into play and drives a wedge between the brothers. And we dance between the contemporary scenes and the dreams that the characters have. That sort of reaches into the subconsciousness of what they're dealing with, and we experience those with the characters in their Orisha form. The play itself, our production, last summer, it was selected for the National Black Theater Festival. Denzel Washington, Morgan Freeman, Cicely Tyson are all on the board of the National Black Theater Festival. It only happens once every other year. It is one of the largest theater festivals in the United States with over 50,000 people attending. And we were one of only two universities invited to attend. It's supposed to be for professional productions, and universities are invited to submit. And we were one of two to accompany 30 other productions from America, South Africa, South America, and London.
I told y'all he's putting the NSU Theater on the map. That is really very cool. Really very cool.
Well, the thing that happened after the summer is we presented the show here in the fall on campus, and then the Kennedy Center came to look at our production. And hundreds of shows are submitted. There's over 250,000 students that participate in the Kennedy Center's American College Theater Festival across the country, and about 1,200 productions participate. And in our region, there's a couple hundred, and they only picked six from our region. And we were one of the six to represent the entire Southeast United States for theater. And we just got back this weekend from presenting the show there. And since we had to put the production back up, we decided to do an encore in Black History Month. Since it's history for the university, is the most decorated, most awarded theater production in the history of the university. It deals with West African, South African, African-American history and culture. And even the play itself, the playwright won the MacArthur Genius Award for writing this play. And it is the most awarded play for a playwright in the last decade.
Professor Stalker, tell us, give us the logistics. When is this going to show? And if you had the information, where people can get tickets and how much the tickets are.
Sure. The show runs the 25th through the 27th of the end of the month in Brown Memorial Hall Theater. On the 25th, there is the opening night reception. Also, at this show, we are going to give special discounts for people to purchase tickets to next season. Yesterday night, I was at the Virginia Stage Company, and we announced a co-production. I will be co-directing with their artistic director a co-production between the university and the Virginia Stage Company, which is the largest equity professional theater here in Virginia, a production of The Color Purple in the spring of next year.
Oh wow. And, yes, wonderful.
And we'll be following up our Whitney Houston tribute. It was the event we did in Wilder for Homecoming. We will again have a tribute, but this year we're going to tribute Luther Vandross for Homecoming.
Wow.
And there's two other productions, but at this event this month, everybody who comes to see the show will get a special ticket that will entitle them to discounts for tickets to those shows after we formally announce the season here. And if people are interested, they can call 757-823-9009 and be sure to hit extension 5 to go directly to the box office. They can go to the university website on the main page with the banners. They can go to the theater company's website, NSU Theater, that's rensutheater.com. Or they can call us at 757-823-2197 to speak to somebody at the company. But the most direct line is the box office. They can get tickets directly through them at 757-823-9009, extension 5. And again, the show is the 25th through the 27th, and it is our encore performance of our multiple award-winning production of The Brother Size.
Very, very cool. If you've got a question for our guests, listeners, give us a call at Spartan Life Radio, 1-347-850-8515. Now, I want to throw a question out to all of you, any of you, and all of you can respond. How do you feel when people question the relevancy of Black History Month? What do you say to those people?
Well, I think that's a very interesting question. And about 3 weeks ago, somebody did ask me, and I have to admit, I was offended. First of all, they were acting like it was no need for it presently because they were acting like we have achieved everything. We haven't achieved near as much as we would have if there had been no discrimination in the first place. So to say, well, what more do you want? Well, hello, do you see Black Lives Matter? Do you know that Black people are still living in poverty? Do you know that we have a higher percentage of African Americans in prison than any other race? You have to see that and know that the continuum goes on, and we're celebrating our achievements, but this gives us motivation to make even more changes in the future. So don't ask me why we're still celebrating and why this is still important.
Why did I know that you would have a succinct answer to that, Carol? you hit the nail right on the head. Anybody else want to weigh in?
Well, you know, last year we did Black Nativity for the holidays, and there were patrons who asked us a similar question about why is it called Black Nativity? And I said it indicates the flavor and the culture of what you are going to be receiving. I said, you don't just say, I'm going to get food. You say, I'm going to get Mexican food. I'm going to get Chinese food. I'm going to get, I don't know, Cajun Creole food. The designation and the collection of what is within a label or content should not be dismissed as invaluable or as offensive or as separatist or creating isolation. And Black History Month was created for a very clear reason and purpose. And to say that it is not needed is to say that the new African American History Museum in D.C. was unnecessary to be built along with all the other culturally germane museums. It's silly to me. That the whole concept of that is silly. And even if people necessarily don't want to partake or participate in it, then have that conversation. Don't question its existence. Mm-hmm. Just say you don't have mm-hmm. any interest and keep moving, because everybody who's interested will participate. Columbus Day exists, and he's credited with something that he didn't even do. But we celebrate that day, too. So you know, well, I just think it's silly.
And don't even get me started on the 4th of July. Freedom, are we celebrating with that?
And black people were still in slavery. Professor Madeline, you want to weigh in?
Absolutely, and I wholeheartedly agree with Professors Pretlow and Stockard, and the way that I think about it and conceptualize it is, so for me, my training, I completed my doctoral fellowship in American Culture Studies at Bowling Green State University, and then my master's degree in social sciences at the University of Chicago. And throughout the arc of my training, there has been an ongoing interest in thinking about bringing the margins to the center. And so whether it's in history or politics or in the fine and performing arts, in all areas of across different disciplines, African-American contributions and communities of color, their contributions have widely been marginalized. And so mm-hmm. it is an ongoing effort to bring those marginalized histories, those marginalized politics, the history of those politics, the understandings of citizenship, and the ethos in which we're occupying that via fine and performing arts, as Professor Stockard is doing such an amazing job, that I would like to help contribute to that in respect to Black History Month. And because of the very fact that we have marginalized communities of color, as Professor Pretlow had accurately stated, I mean, the Black Lives Matter really highlights and illuminates this moment. It's an American moment. That means that there is an ongoing necessity to really highlight our contributions. And so that's really a strong position that I also take in solidarity with Professors Pretlow and Stockard.
That's one reason why I just love NSU faculty. Y'all are just so diverse. You got great ideas, and I don't know, it's just so exciting to be around learned people. But let me tell you what I found out when I was doing some research for this show. I happened to run across a post by Barbara Sierra. She's on News Channel 3, local journalist here. She posted a short video on Facebook. It was about 10 inventions credited to African Americans. And I like to tell people, if somebody asks me about, you know, do we need Black History Month, I would say something like that. And so here are 10 things that our listeners may not know about. The traffic light was invented by Garrett Morris, African-American. All of these inventions were. The potato chips, created by restaurant owner George Crumb. The mailbox mm-hmm. with its hinged opening was invented by Philip Downing. The blood bank concept was invented by Dr. Charles Drew, who also found a way to separate plasma. And I know y'all have heard about Dr. Drew. He has some other contributions as well. The refrigerated truck by Frederick Jones. Closed circuit TV by Marie Van Britten. 3D special effects was pioneered by a man named Mark Hanna. The touch-tone phone, invented by physicist Shirley Jackson. Laser cataract surgery, Dr. Patricia Bass. And the Super Soaker, that big iconic water gun, that was created by Lonnie Johnson. So there you have it, folks, some little-known Black history facts. And so if you're interested
in
seeing this video, sir,
what
you say?
All the things that you just listed are a huge part of some of them are great ideas. Others
mm-hmm.
are essential to the way we live our life. But I bet you
yes.
won't find them in standard history books, which further perpetuates the idea that
yep.
Black History Month is beyond relevant. If it's not
yeah,
included
absolutely.
In the history, then we are essentially saying that we want to ignore or erase that history.
Mm-hmm.
And if it was inclusive and we were getting it anyway, then I would agree that there would be some grounds for saying that you're going to get all this information anyway. But what you just that list was enough in and of itself to show that currently, we are definitely still in need of this time where we take pride in our own culture, where we come from, and share what we offer to our country and the world during this time of the year.
Mm-hmm. I agree completely, and I think it even goes beyond. I mean, I think those achievements are natural. I celebrate them and I'm proud of them. But guess what? I also think it's a time, and I have my students talk about this, it's a time when we celebrate the people that might not even be known by anybody and the contributions they made to our lives. There's a lady in Isle of Wight County, Ms. Amy Palmer, who made such a difference in my life. Now, I love my family, but Mrs. Palmer taught me about practical politics, and she was not a college graduate or a PhD. She knew politics backwards and forwards.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's a time for me to reflect on her and other people like her, even people that I see walking down the street who might, nobody might think that they make a difference in my life, but they say good morning to me. Hey, you, professor, how you doing this morning? That makes me so proud. You know, I was like, that's my family. My peeps wish me a good day.
If you guys are interested in seeing this video, you can check out the Huffington Post website. It's a Pulitzer Prize-winning news site, and it has some of the best journalism reported in the country. So just check it out. It's HuffingtonPost.com. And I want to give you all a chance. We have a few minutes left. I want you to go back and just give us the logistics so our listeners will know where they can get more information. Professor Petlow, starting with you, where can our listeners get more information about your particular Black History Month program?
Oh, well, they can go to my website. They can email me, as you indicated. And actually, I encourage people from the community to come in and sit in the class. I mean, to have something called Political Action Friday, in which there was an informal discussion of students with people from the community. It could be any. It could be a political figure, but it could be somebody who is an activist or somebody who is a teacher in the public schools. It could be anybody. So just email me and let me know, and you're on board.
Okay. Dr. Mandalay, where can our listeners get more information about the Buffalo Soldiers Gallery and panel?
We hope to have a large turnout, and if you are interested and need additional information, you are welcome to call me anytime at 757-823-9489. Again, the number is 757-823-9489. And you may also email me if you like at atmanalang@nsu.edu.
Hey, cool. Professor Stockert, one more time.
They can visit the website, nsu.edu, if they like. We're on the homepage banner there, or they can go under athletics, under tickets, and tickets are there. They can call the box office directly at 757-823-9009. And when they get the prompt, they should hit extension 5. Or they can visit our website at www.nsutheater.com. That's NSUTHEATRE.com.
Okay. And listeners, I just want to reiterate the NSU website is one of your best resources for getting information about the university. We're at nsu.edu. And we're about out of time for this episode of Spartan Life Radio. To all our guests, thank you so much for joining us for this episode. You guys were great, great ideas, great conversation. I hope you enjoyed yourself as much as I have.
We did.
Yes,
it was a blast.
Definitely.
We enjoyed it very much. Yeah.
All right. Thank you, listeners, for checking in with us. Join us for the next episode of Spartan Life Radio. Visit blogtalkradio.com/Spartan Life for the schedule of upcoming shows and to listen on demand. If you've got an idea for a topic you'd like us to cover, email Sharon Hoggart at srhoggart@nsu.edu. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for logging on and tuning in. Again, I'm Sharon Hoggart from Communications and Marketing at Norfolk State University. See you next time on Spartan Life Radio. Live long and prosper.
Thank you for listening to the Spartan Life Radio. Tune in biweekly on Thursday afternoons for another new episode of Spartan Life. For more information on Norfolk State University, visit nsu.edu or check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, and Flickr.